KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies. It's 33 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy and windy today with a high around 57. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The National Weather Service in Des Moines reports a potential winter storm may impact the state Saturday night into Sunday night. Officials say at this time, confidence is increasing that this system will impact central and southern Iowa with the potential for moderate snowfall and strong winds. So if you have any travel plans from Saturday night through Sunday night, please continue to monitor the weather forecast very closely. The system, according to the Weather Service, may cause significant travel impacts during the time period. You should have an alternative travel plan in place, and if you must travel, have a full tank of gas in your vehicle and keep a winter survival kit in your vehicle. That kit should include, among other things, a cell phone charger, a first aid kit, jumper cables, spare tire, road flares, sand or kitty litter for traction, a tow rope, blankets, snow shovel and brush, a flashlight, and of course hats, mittens, and gloves are in snow boots, and water and snacks as well. For more winter travel tips, you can see the same story on the news page or weather page at KJAN.com. Authorities say a 6-year-old boy has died after he and another child and a man fell through a pond in central Iowa. The accident occurred around 2:45 p.m. Wednesday at a privately owned pond in Montezuma. First responders were able to get all three out of the frigid water and send them to hospitals. The Powell Sheet County Sheriff's Office says the boy was pronounced dead at a Grinnell hospital. The girl was flown to a Des Moines hospital and the man was hospitalized in Grinnell. Their names and their relationships to each other have not yet been released. Officials of the Cass County Conservation Board said Wednesday the sponsors of the Trumpeter Swan Arrival Contest have determined the official arrival date of the swans at the Schildberg Recreation Area and Quarry as November 12th. On that day, 10 Trumpeter Swans arrived there and stayed for more than 24 hours. The winners that picked the closest date were Carol, Macy, and Nolan. They'll receive a Trumpeter Swan 8x10 print from the Cass County Conservation Board. And Cass County Conservation thanks all who participated in that contest. In other news, the Audubon School District's Board of Education met Monday evening and approved the offering of early retirement to three employees of the district. Superintendent Brett Gibbs spoke with us yesterday about that.
Those will be due the Friday before the December meeting so that the board can take action at the December meeting.
The board also set the date for the superintendent interviews as Monday, December 3rd, and Wednesday, December 5th.
We're in the process right now of narrowing down who our finalists will be, and then, of course, we'll announce our finalists when we get to that point. We're working our way through those. And I think right now we're looking to get it down to four. I think four is a number we can handle since we didn't hire an outside firm to help us with the search and all of that. We thought four was probably what we're looking at being able to handle. Obviously, if we struggle to get it down to four, if we decide we only want to do three, or if we decide we need to do five, we'll adjust. But right now, we're looking at trying to narrow it down to the four finally.
During the board's meeting last month, Gibbs announced, and the board accepted, his request to take early retirement at the end of the current contract year, June 30th, 2019. Gibbs has served the Audubon School District for 12 years. He and his wife will move back to northeastern South Dakota, where he grew up and his family is living in that area. In other news, Brett Gibbs said the school board on Monday approved a coach's contract.
We approved a contract for our last junior high girls basketball position. We were short one coach there, but we did get someone who stepped up, and so we approved that. Of course, we do a split season here, so junior high girls basketball hasn't started practice yet. They'll start that after, I think, after Thanksgiving, then they'll start playing games after Christmas.
Well, the Adams County Sheriff's Office last night released a report on arrests that took place over the past week. Authorities say John Pace Jr. was arrested yesterday on an active warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of felon in possession of a firearm, OWI for a second offense, driving while barred, two counts of possession of a controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia. And around 8:40 p.m. on November 15th, Adams County deputies conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle operated by Apollonio Yazaguer. And during the course of the traffic stop, the canine Baxo was deployed and gave a positive alert to the odor of narcotics. A probable cause search was conducted, and upon further investigation, Yazaguer was placed under arrest for possession of drug paraphernalia, a meth pipe, carrying weapons, brass knuckles, and possession of ammunition by a prohibited person. Later in the same night, Adams County and Taylor County deputies executed a search warrant in the 200 block of East Michigan Street where Yazaguer resides. Deputies located two firearms, ammunition, and drug paraphernalia, and additional charges are pending against him in Taylor County. And two women were arrested on warrants for failure to appear in court in Adams County. Ashley Wood of Shenandoah was arrested Monday, and Shonda Kyle was arrested Saturday. She's from Creston. Sheriff's officials in Taylor County report the arrest on numerous charges Wednesday of 23-year-old Edward Davis of Lenox. Davis was taken into custody in the 400 block of West Temple Street in Lenox for felony possession with the intent to deliver marijuana, felony possession of a controlled substance, third offense, carrying weapons while under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and assault causing bodily injury. Davis's possession charges were enhanced due to the offenses being within 1,000 feet of a public park and using a weapon during the commission of a crime. His bond was set at $12,000. During the investigation into the alleged assault that occurred, drug paraphernalia was found in plain view. A subsequent search warrant was executed at Davis's residence, and arrested at the residence in reference to the search warrant was 22-year-old Eric Almaguer, 26-year-old Alejandra Almaguer, and 27-year-old Aaron Anaya, all of Lenox. They were arrested for possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Eric Almaguer faces four counts of possession. All three were being held in the Taylor County Jail until they posted a $1,000 cash bond each and were released. Well, Iowans need to be aware of holiday gift exchange called Secret Sisters that's popping up on Facebook and other social media. Jeff Niebaum of the Better Business Bureau in the Omaha Council Bluffs area says it sounds like a great way to get a sleigh full of gifts in the season ahead for a modest investment, but don't be tempted.
It's a post that claims where participants will receive up to 36 gifts in exchange for sending just one gift valued at $10. And the users are encouraged to invite others to participate.
It translates, he says, into an illegal pyramid scheme, and if you get the email, just delete it. Do not send them your information, and do not send a gift, as you likely won't get one back, let alone 36 gifts.
Those who have reached out to us at the Better Business Bureau have told us that they're kind of unsure of what's going on, and they participated, they sent their information, and they sent a gift, but they never received anything.
If you get a message from a friend asking you to take part in the exchange, let them know it's a scam and not to share your data with the crooks.
They'll ask for the person that you're sending to their information and your information. So once you give them that, they have your mailing information, your name, and so they'll contact you in the future with other scams.
And this is Thanksgiving, of course, and it's an annual tradition, but many people across the country still have there are questions about the proper methods for cooking and preparing turkey for their Thanksgiving dinner. Iowa Turkey Federation Executive Director Greta Irwin says a common mistake is not allowing enough time to properly thaw the holiday bird. She says turkeys will thaw at a rate of about 5 pounds each day in the refrigerator, so if you haven't started thawing your bird, you will have to make some adjustments.
If it's not fully thawed, you're still okay to go ahead and roast that turkey. So it just depends on how you're going to be preparing the turkey, but if you do decide you want to cook it from frozen, it does take about 1.5 as long in your timing. So if that turkey took 4 hours, it's going to take 6 hours.
Irwin says you can't cook a turkey in oil without fully thawing it, so if you don't have time to thaw it out, you should use another option. She says another consideration is how to cook the stuffing. Irwin says that she prefers to cook the stuffing by itself and not inside the bird as a time saver.
Stuffing the bird is going to add time to your length of time it has in the oven. So most of us want to make sure it gets done quickly, promptly, and keeps the schedule moving for the day of our meal. So from that standpoint, I think it's better to go ahead and cook it outside.
And she says there's a key thing to remember if you do cook the stuffing in the bird.
Just do not overstuff the turkey and test that stuffing in the center of that to make sure that's reached 165 degrees before you remove the turkey from the oven. So even if the turkey's reaching 170 degrees, you need to make sure that stuffing's 165 degrees before you remove it from the oven.
Irwin says turkey cooking tips can be found on the Iowa Turkey Federation Facebook page or on the website at www.iowaturkey.org. Look under the tab In the Kitchen. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.